Welcome to Episode 3 of Practical Defense, Hotel Safety. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. I've just returned from a trip outside the United States, and it got me thinking about personal security measures for travelers. I started taking some notes of what I use on my personal safety tips and tricks that I've either developed or picked up over the years, and by the time I reached my fifth page, I realized that I had a lot of them. In fact, I had so much material on this topic that I decided I needed to spread it out over a couple of episodes. So, over the next series of episodes or so, with possibly a few interruptions for interviews, I'll be going over tips and tricks and safety precautions for people that might be traveling. When you travel, it essentially boils down to this. It's unfortunate, but tourists are seen as targets. You know, from the cabbie that takes the long way around to run up extra time on the tab, to the pickpocket who's might be lurking at the popular tourist attractions, tourists are seen as gullible, blind, stupid, and rich, and they stick out from the locals like brightly colored ATM machines. In the eyes of the criminal, they're a ripe fruit dangling from a low branch just asking to be plucked. So I'm devoting the next series of episodes to reducing your vulnerability when you travel, how not to invite trouble or tempt these predators. And by adopting a few simple habits and always maintaining your awareness, you can increase your chances of having a really good, fantastic, and safe trip. And you know, there's nothing worse than being out of your home environment and losing everything, losing all your money, losing your passport, losing your cell phone, and being stranded somewhere. It brings all of the fun to an absolute, complete, screeching, and immediate halt. And I've seen it happen, and it can be really devastating. So here is the first in a series of travel safety episodes. Episode 3, Hotel Safety. Now, I've done a lot of traveling in my time. I've been all over the world. I've been to 4 continents. I've been to Africa. I've been to Europe. I've been to South America. And, of course, I've been around my home in North America. And I've stayed in some of the world's finest hotels and some of the worst rat traps where I really didn't get much sleep. But regardless of where I am and where I intend to pull back the sheets, the process that I use whenever I go into a hotel is always the same. The first and maybe one of the most important things to realize is that your hotel room is not safe, it's not private, and it's not secure. Not even remotely. You can assume that anyone and everyone on the hotel staff has access to your room. Now, the larger the hotel means that there's a larger pool of people that have access to your room. Now, that's not to say that smaller hotels are any better, because they're not necessarily any safer. Anybody on any staff can be paid to look the other way, accidentally drop a key, either their master key or a key to a specific room. It's just the way that things are. Somebody, somewhere, at any time, can be paid off, or not necessarily even paid off. May be unscrupulous. And people that have access to your room, I mean, it runs the whole gamut. It could be the cleaning crew. It can be the front desk managers. It can be the repair crew. It can even be the security department themselves. Now, when it comes to the hotel housekeeping staff, it can be a mixed blessing. And what I mean by that is they can either be an ally or they can be a vulnerability. Now, what happens is the housekeeping staff can be pressured by spouses, by boyfriends, by relatives, or just friends to come in and scan through the room and, you know, just pick up small things that might not be missed while they're looking the other way and cleaning the room. Now, my suggestion here is to tip the housekeeping staff daily. So for the cost of a cup of coffee, you can, you know, purchase a second pair of eyes for your belongings. The housekeepers work hard, and they're rarely appreciated, so your little daily tip can really lift their spirits. And in return, you could get a little more personal care and a little more protection. You know, it's human nature to protect those people that we like, and if you tip the housekeeping staff daily, they like you. Many of the thefts and robberies in hotels are inside jobs. Actually, at most businesses, most thefts are all inside jobs, but that's beside the point. They happen either by staff members themselves, or by friends or relatives of the staff members who kind of set things up or look the other way and then get a cut later on. So most commonly, you're going to have things removed from your room while you're gone. However, there will be rare instances when someone may lay in wait in your room for you, and when you first enter the room, they jump out and they rob you. Now, the way this works is it's either a lone person or a two-man team. What they do is they hang out at the front desk, and they listen when people check in, and they look and they scan the people to see if they have money. So when the hotel clerk checks you in and they hand you the key and they say, okay, Mr. Haddix, here's your key, your room 204. When they hear the room number, the man either runs to the room and beats you to it and lets himself in and hides, or he calls to a buddy over cell phone and then says, hey, there's somebody that looks pretty good. He's heading to room 204, get over there and get in. Then when you enter the room, they jump out. This type of crime is one of the reasons why there's a security policy in almost all the hotels I've ever been in that the front desk attendant is never supposed to utter your room number aloud. They're never supposed to say it out loud. The procedure is supposed to be, here's your room key, Mr. Jones or Mr. Haddix. The elevators are over there on the right. And then as they hand you your key, you know, they flip open the little envelope and the room number is written there. So they actually never speak it. So it's people listening in won't know your name, and they won't know your room number. The other part of this is that what two things do you need to charge the items to your room? Your name and your room number. So by hanging out at the front desk and listening for these things, you're vulnerable to having things charged to your room. And in fact, on this recent trip I came back from, we stopped over in the British Virgin Islands for a couple of days to warm ourselves on the beach, and someone charged a large number of drinks to our room from a bar at the hotel that my wife and I had never even visited. So this type of thing, it does happen. But fortunately, the hotel understood, cleared everything up, and the charges were removed from our ticket. But those types of things, they do cause stress when you're on vacation, supposed to be having fun, and all of a sudden you're getting all these extra charges to your room. But I digress. So when you first enter your hotel room, what you want to do is you want to keep the front door open. That is your fastest escape route if somebody's waiting for you. So as you come into the room and you unlock the door, use one of your bags to prop the door open entirely. Okay, so it should be wide open. Then what you want to do is you want to scan the room. You want to check places that people might be hiding. You want to check the closets. You want to check the bathroom. And you want to check behind the curtains. When all's clear, just pull your luggage in the room, close and double lock the door. Once you've cleared the room and everything's shut locked, you also want to make sure that the windows and the doors lock. I can't tell you how many times I found open windows or doors to adjoining rooms unlocked. I mean, I just opened the door and there it was. Now, the rooms that I'm talking about have adjoining doors. They open up and they kind of link two rooms together through an archway, and it makes it sort of like a suite. These have double doors. They have a door on either side, and they both shut and lock from the inside so that if you open yours, you can't get into the next room. But sometimes these doors are on your side, are unlocked. So if the person opens up their door, they can just open up yours and walk in. So you want to make sure that these doors are shut and locked properly. The other thing you want to do, again, is check to make sure that the windows shut and lock. Now, I stayed in an absolutely beautiful 5-star hotel in Mexico City. And when I went up there and I did my normal scan, I found that the window would not shut and would not lock. The window frame had been totally bent out of shape, what it looked like from earthquake damage. So the window was never going to shut and lock again. And there was a 4-foot ledge right outside the window that anybody could walk down. So what I did was I went down to the front desk and I said, the window in my room doesn't lock. I would like another room. And to my surprise, they were a little grumpy about it. But they gave me a new room. I did my same process. I went, I checked the room, scanned everything. Everything shut and locked. And I slept for the night very comfortably. Another thing you can do is purchase one of these inexpensive hotel room door alarms. These are portable alarms, and they're very small. They're like the size of a transistor radio or an iPod. And they have a string with a pin on it. And the unit itself hangs from the doorknob, and then there's a pin that goes into the unit, and then a string that goes out and attaches to something on the door. So that if somebody opens the door, it pulls the pin out of the unit, and you have a large screeching alarm that sounds, and it's battery-powered. And they don't cost very much, and, you know, they can really help. If somebody opens up your door when you're not expecting it, or you're sound asleep, or even if you're in the shower, this will give you a few extra seconds to react. On another trip, I was traveling back from a camping trip with my father, and we were going through the middle of the Mojave Desert on the way home. We were in the middle of absolute nowhere. I mean, we were between the lost and never-to-be-found section of a map. It was in the middle of nowhere. And it was late, and we were tired, and we came across this small motel, and we just had to stop. So it was our last chance to get some sleep. This place was a total dive. I mean, it was horrible. We didn't even sleep in the beds. We just slept on top of them. We just pulled our dusty sleeping bags that we've been sleeping on the desert floor with and used those instead. The bed smelled like King Tut had personally been mummified them, and the windows wouldn't shut, much less lock. And I kid you not, there were bullet holes through what passed as a front door that was made of cardboard practically, and even through the walls. I mean, the walls were like paper mache. The only thing missing over this place was a sign that read Bates Motel. So we got a little rest, really no sleep, and we were up and gone at first light. After securing your room, you also need to secure your belongings. Remembering that everyone on the staff has access to your room, you can't assume that small items left out on dressers, desks, or hidden at the bottom of your suitcase aren't going to walk away when you're not around. So most hotels, especially those that cater to the international traveler, will offer in-room lockboxes for free, or sometimes a nominal fee. And I've never paid more than around $15 for the entire trip. And normally the $15 is just to cover lost keys and people. Sometimes they're a push-button electronic password that you input yourself. You know, a lot of people put the numbers in and then they forget them and they have to send a locksmith up to try and, unlock the system. So that's what the $15 is around, to cover. Now, what you want to do with these is you want to store your passports, any extra credit cards, any additional cash, basically anything small and valuable that you're not going to carry with you when you go out. But you say, wait, I'm going to go out and I'm always going to have my cell phone with me. And if I'm out touring, I'm going to have my passport with me. But you're not always going to be doing that. What if you're going down to, say, the pool or going out to the beach? You're not going to take your cell phone with you there. You're not going to have your passport and then leave it on the bench or in the sand while you go out and swim for 20 or 30 minutes. You want to have a place to store and lock these. These few dollars that you spend on this are well worth the investment and peace of mind alone. And they're not Fort Knox, but they're a huge sight better than the bottom of your suitcase in a completely unsecured room and a hope and a prayer. And if in-room lockboxes aren't available, the front desk will almost always have a safety deposit box, something like that you would have at the bank. They provide the exact same sort of security service, but with less convenience of having it right there in your room. And just remember, if you're traveling internationally and you lose your passport, your trip comes to a screeching halt that day. You need to immediately find your way to a consulate or your embassy. You need to fill out a ton of paperwork, and you need to pay cash for a temporary placement. And if you're a U.S. citizen, that's like, I think it was like $97 to replace your passport. And they want cash. They don't want credit cards. They want checks. They want cash. But, if you lose your passport, generally you lose a lot of other stuff too. And you might have a problem there. So don't lose your passport. Keep it locked up. Now, if you do lose your passport and you have a lot of time remaining on your vacation, they might actually issue you temporary papers and allow you to continue on your trip, but only if it's long enough. If it's just a couple of days, they might just send you home a day or two early. I also wanted to bring up concierges. Now, these are a great resource that a lot of people don't use, and they're important for security. Now, the reason for this is if you're not part of a professionally guided tour group, you need to ask the concierge where to go, and more importantly, where not to go. Because some of these areas that the historic sites or some of these things are in that you might want to visit aren't necessarily in the best parts of town. So you need to talk to a local expert who can give you unbiased, impartial advice to help you navigate around and stay safe. The concierge is an excellent resource for that, and it's free. I also want to talk about taxis. Now, taxis are the primary means of travel to and from the hotels. So they're important, and they're important for security for a couple of reasons. One of the things you want to do is you want to reduce your chances of getting ripped off by a cab. And there are a couple of things that you can do to do this. The first thing is, and this is domestically or internationally or wherever you're going, whenever you get into a cab, well, before you get into the cab, ask for a price estimate. The cabbies know their way around the city. They've been doing it for years. They do it all day long. They know in their head about how much a fee is going to be. So before you get in, ask the cabbie for a price estimate. Now, they may come off and say, well, you know, I don't want to get tied down to pennies. That's fine. Just say, I understand it's not going to be down to the penny, but it's not going to be exact, but just give me a ballpark figure of where it's going to be. Every time I've asked for an estimate before getting into the cab, the end price has been within about $5. So, and that's the difference is usually because of unexpected traffic. This also alerts a cabbie that you're an experienced traveler and not to pull their normal gimmicks on you. Now, the other thing you can do is for an unbiased opinion is you can ask the concierge how much a cab might be, and they can give you a pretty good estimate. And that would also give you a backup to compare against what the cabbie might ask. Or, instead of a concierge, you might ask the doorman. At the airport, you can ask the taxi wrangler. I'm not exactly sure what these guys are called, but these are the guys that are right outside the baggage claim, and they're the ones that hail the taxis and put everyone in. You can ask them for a price estimate as well. And don't forget to tip. Tipping is important, and it's especially important if you're going to be traveling in the same place and dealing with the same people over a period of time. So you want to tip the concierge, you want to tip the doorman, you want to tip the taxi wrangler, and they'll really take care of you. Another thing to do is to use only certified taxis. These are government-certified, either state or federal, taxis. I know this sounds strange to most Americans because, you know, really the only people that drive taxis are already licensed. But in a lot of the smaller countries, a cabbie is anybody who owns a car or sometimes they even rent cars for the day that will be paid to take you somewhere. So before you get into these taxis, ask an airport official how to identify a certified taxi. Now, the taxi wranglers will always put you in a certified taxi. But if there are no taxi wranglers at the airport that you're visiting, ask an airport official. Now, an airport, if you can't find an airport official, an information booth, or something like that, ask your ticket agent. Walk up to whatever airline you purchased the tickets from and ask them how to identify a certified taxi. And if they can't tell you exactly, they can almost always tell you who can tell you how to identify a certified taxi driver. You're far safer in certified cabs rather than some random person, because the random people, they could be very hard, honest-working people, but you don't know. And you often hear stories of people who got in a non-certified taxi and they got driven off someplace, you know, someplace that their buddies were waiting for them, and they mugged the guy. And they took everything, took the luggage, took the money, took the passports, took everything, beat him, left him there in the middle of a bad part of town in a country he doesn't know anything about with no money and no identification. That's not a position you want to be in. So, in summary, we have, don't think of your hotel like it's your home. It's not. It's not private. It's not secure. Anyone and everyone on the hotel staff has access to your room. When you enter the room, you want to prop the door open and scan the room for potential lurkers. When you're inside, after you've shut and double-locked the door, you want to check the doors and windows to make sure that they shut and lock properly. You want to tip. You want to tip the housekeeping staff. You want to tip the concierge. You want to tip the doorman. And you want to tip the taxi wranglers. Just spread a few bucks around. People will remember you. People will take care of you. When you're not in your room, you want to put your valuables into an in-room lockbox or some sort of safety deposit box at the front desk. This is even if you're just running out to go to the pool for an hour. Lock that stuff up. You want to check with the concierge for good places to visit and which places to avoid. You want to get a price estimate before you get into any cab. Any cab, domestic, international, doesn't matter. Get an estimate first. And you only want to use state or government certified taxis. And finally, I wanted to thank Master Bill Green for providing some of the tips in this episode. Master Green and my family spent many years 4x4ing up and down Baja California and other parts of the American Southwest. And he sent me an email with a couple of tips to put in the episode. And not only did he send in an email with these tips, but, you know, over the years, he also introduced me and showed me how to do a lot of these things. So, thanks, Bill. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Kevin MacLeod.